Song number 25, first and fourth verse of clip.
Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go. Anywhere he leads me in this world below. Anywhere without him here his joy will fade. Anywhere with Jesus I am not afraid. Anywhere, anywhere, here I cannot go. Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go. Anywhere with Jesus I can go to sleep. When the darkened shadows round about me creep, knowing I shall waken evermore to roam. Anywhere with Jesus will be home, sweet home. Anywhere, anywhere, here I cannot know. Anywhere with Jesus I can say, me go.
Our next song is song number 2. Wonderful Savior. Number 2. First and fourth verses here.
A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul.
The reading this morning is from John 6, 47 through 56. Verily, 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 I say unto you, he that believeth on me has everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man there eat of and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore struggled among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, he hath no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. My flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him.
Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this privilege we have of partaking of this cup, the fruit of the vine, which represents the blood that was shed on the cross for our sins. Help us, Father, to examine ourselves and to take of this in a manner to be pleasing to thee. So we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
complete, and now have the opportunity to give back to the Lord for the great gift of congregation.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for all your blessings we get each and every day. Father, for we know all good things come from you. We give back today, Father, we pray that we'll give back with a cheerful heart. In Jesus' name we pray.
You can tell by the board our numbers that we've been having in this pandemic time and the aftermath of it. And 41 is a nice number to see here with us today. We're glad to have you all here. Number 406, please. 406.
Jesus going on. Christ the King. This through countless ages, men and angels sing. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before.
Brother Rich, would you lead us in prayer?
Dear most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son, Christ Jesus, the Son of the greatest Father. Thank you for letting us be here today worshiping your Son. Watch over us, guide us, and direct us, and keep our minds clear, help us to speak, and be with the ones that are lame. In Christ Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Will you please mark in your songbook after the lesson today? Number 226, Is Thy Heart Right with God? Number 226. Sing the first and third verses of that old song after the lesson today. And once you mark that, please turn with me a few pages over to 433, Pure in Heart, O God.
that he had great tribulation within himself.
He hated the idea that he would suffer as he would have to suffer. But he did that to do the Father's will and suffer for our sins in his own body. The Heavenly Father's will was preeminent. In John chapter 12, verse 49, Jesus said, "The words that I say unto you, not known. But my Father gave me these words that I now say and pronounce unto you." The will of the Heavenly Father was being carried out in the teaching that Jesus was giving to his disciples and to all the people while he was here on this earth in his public ministry. Who is this Father that's so important that his words mean so much? The idea of the judgment of him meaning that that word will judge us in the last day. Why is it the case that he is such a wonderful Father? We have wonderful fathers, and we have fathers that limit themselves by way of their habits and practices in life so that they're not worthy. They're simply those who have fathered children, but they're not fathers in any sense of the word of leadership and guidance of a home and family. But they can make changes in life. They can make adjustments. Instead of the can or the bottle being lifted up night by night with their choice and the words that they choose to say and do to rely on and hurt others, they can choose other words and other ways of life to live. And be a wonderful example to their sons and daughters after them. What about the Heavenly Father? What about his will? We particularly this morning in 1 Peter chapter 4 and 5 read verses that they deal with the idea of God being the Creator and how we're to give our lives totally over unto him, that he is the Creator and that he will help us as we go through life. In Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. We see in these particular verses of Scripture how that it is the case that in the words of God, he commanded these things to be. Commanded the sun to be, the moon to be, the stars to be in place. He commanded the earth to rotate as it does, and the seasons of the year to come and go as they do. His word commands these things to take place. It is noted in verse 24 of Genesis 1, "And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after its kind, cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good." It was the case that God looked upon the man and saw that it was not good for man to be alone. "I will make a help meet for him." She would be a help mate for him as being a father. But that would be a part of being a help meet for him in accordance to the needs that were existing in his life and with his household and the future of his day. Wonderful it is to talk about God, the Creator. When we talk about God, we talk about God who loves people and cares about people enough to protect them and guide them in every way as possible. In Isaiah chapter 15, in regard to this matter, we read particularly about the words of God and his way and his will and how he follows that way and will at his volition. And to honor his ways, the way that we want to sing about him, the way we want to pray to him in our prayers, is the way that we want to be in life as we go forward. And in Isaiah chapter
fifth time we get over to that particular passage of Scripture, I want to refer to something that we don't commonly refer to, but which we should have referred to many times. Thus saith the Lord. He says, verse 4, the Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He waketh morning by morning, he waketh mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, I will not be rebellious, neither turn away back. The idea of God and his creation of man, and the way that man has been built in such a way that we know that we came from our mother's womb, and we know that we came here on this earth to be the kind of physical people that we are. But there is more to it in the sense of when we hear things, when we understand things, and ask this question this morning, who woke you up? When you awaken from your night of sleep, who woke you up from this morning? And God said, he did. Verse 7 of Isaiah 50 says, for the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me, who will contend with me. Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he? Who is he that shall condemn me? And lo, they shall all wax old as a garment, and the moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. He closes Isaiah 50 with the following verse, verse 11. Behold, ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves light of your fire, and in the sparks that ye have kindled, this shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. If we find ourselves received God, we find ourselves being times of people who defy God and do not follow his way, there is a type of sorrow that is brought to our hearts. When we come to a time of the death of a loved one, there are people who find themselves uncontrollable at a graveside. They go back to the graveside knowing that they will at that time have tears to come from their eyes and regret to be within their breast as they see the final resting place of love. When we do that, who provided for us the tears that we have? Who provided for us the thought within our hearts? Who thought within our hearts to be saved? Who will help me during the time of an adversary? And the answer is, God will help me just as God has rewarded me this speedy within myself. The tears didn't come because they just came from me. They didn't come because it just happened to be. They came as a result of God's creation of man and how that we look at the situation. When we think about God and his righteous way, we think about the way that Jesus came to live and follow his Father's will. And in reference to his Father's will, he said the following about it in Mark chapter 1, beginning at verse number 14. And after that John was, Mark 1 and 14. And after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe. context of this is the Jewish people with which he came in that time. They couldn't believe he would rise. They couldn't believe he came and did deliver them from the Roman government under which they were suffering at that time. Paying the taxes that they paid and being strapped with the various punishments that they had from the Roman authorities. They felt like that the Lord would come and deliver them from that, but Jesus came to deliver them inwardly from anything that would ever hurt them eternally. And when they looked at that situation, they looked at Jesus and he said, "Repent ye, for the kingdom is at hand." The kingdom that we find in the New Testament Bible is described in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13 and in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 16. In Colossians 1 and 13, in whom we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of his grace, and we thank God that he has delivered us out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. When we're delivered out of the power of sin and darkness and wrongdoing, we have now a reward that is given to us that we're entered into the kingdom of his dear Son. Who are these people in the kingdom? In Colossians chapter 4, these people are saved people from sin. But in chapter 4, verse 16, he says, "These things that I've written unto you, I want you to take to the church at Laodicea. And have them read this. And you get the letter in return that I read to Laodicea. And bring it back to the people at Colossae and read among the brethren at Colossae." What's the message of this book of Colossians? Thank God that we've been delivered out of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. What's the kingdom? People. These are people to take this message that I've written to you at Colossae and take it over to the church at Laodicea. And from the church at Laodicea, get the letter I wrote to them and bring it back and read to the kingdom people here at Colossae. Our further studies on Wednesday night have brought us in our classroom, Brother Bill, to realize that the kingdom coming to come back will be that we find ourselves in the church faithful as members of the church. As members are just like the fingers on the hand, the ears on the face, the eyes to see and hear, all the things that are involved with that. By the way, we love the sound of children now. You see, we love the sounds. Don't worry about that. And we love the ideas of your being here today. Thank you so much. But the idea about us being faithful as members, or just like faithful as a hand to grip and shake, faithful as we see, faithful as we hear, faithful as we go about our daily walk of life. So it is that in the church of the Lord we find ourselves being faithful in membership. In Ephesians chapter 3, in reference to this matter, it says, "Praying to God, and he is able to do abundantly above all the ghastly things, through the power that is in us." And further he says, "And glorify God in the church throughout all ages, world without end." Where is the church in our lives? It's to be throughout all ages, world without end. We're to be people who praise God and who glorify the Lord in the church. Not out of the church, not sometimes in, most of the time out, but always in the church. Glorify God. Put light upon the Lord in what we do, what we say, how we sing, how we worship, how we participate in the Lord's Supper, how we pray. We're the people who really enjoy that relationship with God. He wants us to do that. We talk about this great God. He's a God of worship. A God of creation. A God of bringing his Son to earth to be a person who would tell us the kingdom has come, to explain the nature of the kingdom in the church, and to be people who find themselves looking back up to God, that we're faithful in membership of the church, will someday enter into the kingdom of his dear Son. We remind ourselves entering into this relationship with Him. And when we read in the scripture regarding how we're to live, He tells us in the writing of the Apostle Peter, add unto your faith virtue, and your virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance. Temperance patience, patience brotherly kindness, brother kindness love. For so an abundant entrance, if you add these things and abound, he says, in these things, add to your faith virtue and knowledge and temperance, patience and godliness, brother kindness and love. If you abound in these things, so an abundant entrance shall be ministered to you into the everlasting kingdom. You'll be with the Lord forever in that day if you add these qualities to your life. What will these qualities do to a home and family from a father leading that father, leading that family, if he adds virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and love? What will be the result of a father adding those things and living those things out before his sons and daughters? Won't it be a rewarding way of life for them to live, a rewarding happiness for them, a rewarding way for them to look for and make themselves and find someone like mama was, or like daddy was, or like this way of life that they taught me to live? So as we live that way, we enjoy the relationship with them, and even more, we enjoy the relationship with our Heavenly Father. The traits of our Heavenly Father are involved in creation, in the sinning of Christ, in the nature of the church of the kingdom, in the way of life that we live from day to day. God Himself wants to be with us. Give us an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom when life and work is on. Think about that as this morning we stand together and sing the first and last verses of 226. Have thine affections been nailed to the cross? Is thy heart right with God? Dost thou count all things for Jesus but loss? Is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight. Thank you all for being here to with us today. For the time of Richardson, would you please lead us in dismissal prayer at this time?
Dear Father, again, we're so thankful this day for all the many blessings you've given us, Lord. Against us, thank you for the day of our sins. Dear Father, we pray that you want to make this blessing today and do that in our hearts, and do that for our families and for our families. We pray that you be with the ones to mention here today that are sick. Father, you be with each one of us now as we are working on this in here.